How's everybody doing this morning? I want to start with a small story. I heard about a kindergarten teacher who was walking one day through her classroom, and she noticed a little girl was passionately drawing something, painting something. The teacher was kind of impressed by her focus, by her enthusiasm and energy. She said, "What are you drawing, little girl?" Little girl said, "I'm painting a picture of God." The teacher smirked and laughed a little bit and said, "Honey, but nobody really knows what God looks like." The girl, without hesitation, said, "They will in a minute." Okay, all right. Today we're starting a sermon called Pursuit of Happiness. We're in a series called The Science of Happiness. And on this sermon, I'm going to try to keep it down a little bit because I don't want to yell. I want to teach. Save it. Yes. I want to teach. So before we go into the reading of scriptures, I want to say that happiness is a science. You can study it. In the Bible, there's about 30 verses on happiness and about 300 verses on joy. You can have three types of happiness. First, you can have imaginary happiness. You can have temporary happiness. Or you can have a lifelong lasting happiness. Which happiness do you want? Lifelong lasting happiness, right? What is imaginary happiness? Have you ever saw somebody who was so just in their own imagination? They said this, "If only I could get married, I would be so happy." Yes, I'm depressed right now. "But if I would get married, I would be the happiest person ever." You're like, You got a romantic idea of something that does not exist. Okay? "If only I could buy a house, I would be so happy. Pastor, you don't know my landlord. If only I could buy a house, I could be so happy." And you're like, man, you're just imagining it. "If only I could something. If I could go on vacation. If only I could travel, I could be so happy." Last week, we determined that those things do bring us happiness, but it's only temporary happiness. And anything that the world will offer you will bring you happiness, but only temporary happiness. God came to this earth, Jesus Christ came to this earth, not to give you temporary happiness. He came to give you long-lasting joy and happiness. And if I would ask you if you want temporary, imaginary, or long-lasting, I bet everyone here would say, "I want long-lasting happiness." And so this is what the world says. The world says, do something that will make you happy now. But remember, it's a temporary happiness. Buying a house is a good thing, but it only brings you temporary happiness. Buying a nice car is a good thing, but it only brings you temporary happiness. And listen, God is not so concerned about your temporary happiness. Can I break that bubble? Can I just tell you the truth that God is not really concerned so much about your temporary happiness. However, He is concerned about your lifelong lasting, eternity lasting happiness. The world offers you temporary. God offers you eternal. The world offers you now and pay later. And if you're honest, you've been there. I've been there. You bought it. You borrowed money for it. You rolled and smoked it. You drank it. You dated it. You slept with it. Some of you marry it. Don't look. And in an instant, in a moment, it felt good, wasn't it? But a lot of times, if you're honest, the source of a lot of our pain comes from the temporary happiness that we went for. And so what God says is this: I want you to sacrifice temporary happiness to get long-lasting happiness. Christianity, this is what God... See, a lot of people think God doesn't want you to have happiness. No, God wants you to sacrifice imaginary and temporary happiness so you can get long-lasting happiness. I speak about this a lot, but He wants you to wait till you get married so you can enjoy long-lasting happiness. And some of you are like, "I don't get God. Why is He putting these restrictions on me?" Because He seeks He's not interested so much in your temporary. He is interested in your lifelong happiness. If you look at your parents sometimes, if you look at people, your neighbors, or somebody you know who messed up their life, I bet you it was most likely that they went after temporary happiness and they sacrificed their long-lasting happiness. I talk to people all the time and they say, why is God punishing me? And I'm like, God is not punishing you. You sacrificed your long-lasting happiness for temporary happiness 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and you're still paying for it. Can we be honest? You know, Jesus said a thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, a lot of times we think thief is on the outside. But if you look in a mirror, you'll find that in many cases, you were the thief of, and I was the thief of my own happiness. Yes, I got a moment of pleasure, but then I had to pay for it for a long time. And so God says, no, 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 I want your long-time happiness, not your short-term happiness. That's why we as parents don't give our kids all the candy they want, because we want them to keep their teeth for a long time. Amen. Amen. So if you look at God, and I hope, does this, I mean, if I stopped here, that would be it. That would be good enough for a sermon, right? Because God is interested in your ultimate happiness. He's interested in your joy, long-lasting, not short-term. He's interested in your happiness. Let's read something. Because I promised you on a video on Facebook that I posted. I said, today I will give you the key to happiness from Jesus. What did Jesus say the key to happiness is? I want to also say that last week, if you remember, I said that happiness is not what? It's who. So happiness is not material things. It's who. And today I want to give you that one who that I already gave you last week, but we're going to expand and go a little deeper. Okay? So Jesus said this, happiness is not a destination. Happiness is the pursuit of something. So if you want to write this down, happiness is not a destination. There is no destination that you could reach in life that you can say, I'm truly happy. Am I right or wrong, church? So let me just give you a thought. A house. That's a destination, right? Buying a house, buying a car, getting married, that's a destination. Does that bring you ultimate happiness? Come on, can you talk to me? No, it doesn't bring you ultimate happiness. So let's just exclude that. Let's just say this, happiness is not a destination. It's the journey. It's the journey. It's seeking something. Now, what are we going to seek? Jesus said you should seek this one thing. And everything else will be taken care of and added. Do you know what it is? Matthew chapter 6, 33 is the key verse for today. He said this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So it says seek who? God, kingdom of God. Let's just make it all God and his principles and his way of doing things. And what will be, and all these things, that's what, will be added unto you. So seek who? God and his way of doing things, and all what, the what, will be added unto you. Some of you are like, you lost me, Pastor. Don't get lost yet. I promise you, you might get a revelation today that I got that will change your life. In the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson wrote this phrase. You know this phrase. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Notice he said, you don't pursue life. You already got life. You don't pursue liberty. God already has set you free. You're a free man, free woman. But happiness, he didn't say life, liberty, and happiness. Why not? Because happiness is not a destination. Thomas Jefferson knew this, that happiness is not a destination. You can't arrive to it by thinking, if I get a vacation, then I'll be happy. Happiness is now, and happiness is pursuit of something. Let me just break this down. Did you know that in your heart, there is an engine that makes you pursue things? Ladies, those nice expensive shoes that you think you'll buy and you'll never need another pair again. You're laughing. Why? Guys, ladies, even if the shoes can last forever, your heart will not stop pursuing shoes. I love auctions, guys. I love going to the auction, buying stuff. And as soon as I buy something, you can ask my wife, I'm satisfied for about 3 days. Guess what I do again? More. I need some more. Why? The heart is not satisfied. The eye is not satisfied. So listen to me. If you need to know this about your science, how you were created. Your heart for happiness will never be satisfied until it's perfectly satisfied in who? Hold on, don't say it yet. But yeah, you're right. It's God. And some of you, how can my heart be satisfied in God? I'll explain it in a second. Jefferson knew that happiness is not a destination, it's a journey. And we already established last week that happiness is not what, it's who. And so here Jesus says, the secret to happiness is pursuit of happiness. But how can you pursue happiness? You pursue things that make you happy, or you pursue someone that makes you happy. We already said things don't make us happy long term, so it's somebody must be able to make me happy long term. Well, let's break it down. We said there's three who's. There's God, there's you, and there's your neighbor. Can your neighbor make you truly happy? Not really. You can't depend on happiness for your neighbor. Can you make yourself truly happy? No, you don't have the capacity. You can be as happy as you want to be. You can choose to be happy. But ultimately, God is the source of all happiness. And I'll explain in a second. Pastor, you mean you have a right to pursue your own happiness? Yes, in God. Many years ago, when I was kind of not happy with life, and I had everything you can have, you need. A car, house, married, beautiful children, beautiful wife, and I was not happy. And one day, I saw a YouTube video clip. I saw a man on that clip who had no arms and no legs. And he was born that way. His name is Nick Vujicic. That's how, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. He was born without arms and legs. And today, he's one of the highest motivational preaching speakers in the world. He gets invited to pretty much everything and anything to speak. And he was speaking, he said, I was born without arms and legs. I can't even dress myself. I can't even feed myself. That's what he said. And he wanted to kill himself because he was so depressed. Until one day he heard the good news of the gospel. He found God. And he said something, God, when I found God, God gave me the purpose in life. God said, you were born for a reason. There's no purpose without God. Guys, did you know that? Because we all live, die, and decay. Why do good? Why do bad? It's all relevant because we're all going to die. With God, there is purpose. I believe God created all of us for a purpose. And so when he was speaking, I felt ashamed. I felt, how dare you have arms, you have legs, you're strong, you have a mind, decent mind on your head, you know, decent brain. You're blessed financially, you have vehicles, you have kids, you have a beautiful wife, and you're still depressed and not happy. What did he found that you don't have? And I'm seriously, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. And today, I follow Nick on Facebook, and I see he travels all over the world speaking. He was on Oprah. He was in T.D. Jakes' church. He was everywhere. He surfs, guys. He swims. He plays soccer. Did you know that he got married? And you should see his wife. She's pretty. She's pretty pretty. Yeah, I was like, how did he do that? You know? And the guy has a son and just had another baby, if you follow him on Facebook. And he is speaking and doing and empowering, encouraging people who have legs and who have arms and who can dress themselves and feed themselves. And if he could be happy, and his happiness is not in his legs, guys. It's not in his identity so much. It's in God of purpose, a God of happiness. And if he found happiness, why am I not happy? Why can I find long-lasting happiness? You know why? Because we look for it in what and not who. And not who. Amen. So what does pursuit of happiness mean? It means that you have a right to pursue your own happiness. Okay? As a human being, you can pursue a car, but let me just break your bubble. Not gonna satisfy. Now, should you have a nice car? I think so. I think you should have the best car. And if you want to put big rims on it, go ahead. Right? Should you have nice shoes, ladies? Yeah, go for it. But just don't look for your lasting happiness in them. I heard of a lady on Focus on the Family. She said she redecorated her house 7 different times, and she was depressed. And it wasn't just herself she decorated. She hired, right, Daniel? She hired a professional to redecorate her house 7 different times, and she was depressed. Some of you have been there. You bought 7 outfits. Guys, you bought 7 rifles, and you're still boring. You're not happy. Help me out. Right? And she did that and until she found happiness in Christ and in purpose that he gives. How many of you know that not maybe all of us won't be David who slays the Goliath? But we could be a part of Israel's army who could do the work of God. And maybe you feel like, I'm kind of nobody. I don't have a lot of money. Listen, God still has a purpose for you. And even if you become a part of New Life Vision, bringing people closer to Jesus, even if you smile and greet people, or even if you choose to do something, you're fulfilling the purpose. You're fulfilling a big picture. And so you're a part of something big. Amen. So what does pursuit of happiness mean? It means you have a right. You can be as happy as you want to be. Some people pursue a degree to be happy. Others pursue a business or a business career. Some pursue getting married. Some pursue buying a house, having a baby, taking that baby to soccer games and basketball and baseball games, getting that big boy out of the house, saving for retirement, traveling. And temporary happiness does never satisfy, so you'll always keep pursuing. And that's why some of us are in debt. And that's why some people have so many credit cards, because they keep trying to find happiness in what? Not in who. All right? But some of you are like, okay, thank you. But some of you are still not there. If you have accomplished any of those things that I just read, you know that pursuit of these things bring only temporary happiness. In other words, they don't bring lasting, long-term happiness. So Jesus said this. Here's the secret to happiness, is to pursue something. You're going to pursue something, guys. You're going to pursue something. Young man, you're going to pursue something. Why not pursue the ultimate thing, the supreme thing, the greatest thing? Why not pursue something that's going to bring you long-lasting happiness, not just temporary fix, right? That thing will give you a temporary fix, but it won't give you long-lasting happiness. And pleasures in life, those temporary fixes, have a way of imploding on us. So, last week you drank half a bottle of something, then you drank a bottle, then you drink 3 bottles, and it won't do, and it won't satisfy it anymore. You see what I mean? The pleasures in life have a way of imploding on us. Somebody said, I wasted my life climbing to the top, trying to build my career. And when I got there, I realized I was climbing the wrong ladder, or there was nothing there. And so we pursue wrong things. You can pursue wrong things, and they won't bring you happiness. Or you can pursue who? And mainly God. And so Jesus said this. Here's the key to happiness. Seek first. Now, he doesn't say don't seek a job. You need a job, right? You need a car. You need a home. You need food on the table. You do need that. But he said, don't put those things first, because they won't satisfy it, and they'll make you broke sometimes. He says, but seek first God and his righteousness, and then you'll have all these things added onto you. There was a prince who lived in 5th century before Christ, so 500 years before Christ. He was a prince. He married a beautiful princess. His dad, you know, organized the wedding. This is a true story. He had a child. And one day he saw the suffering and pain and unhappiness of people and the unhappiness that he experienced. He was a prince and still was experiencing unhappiness. And so one day he got on his horse and ran away pursuing happiness because what he had was not satisfying. And when he meditated for days, for weeks, for months, he studied under different teachers. Finally, one day, he fasted so much that when he was taking a bath in a river, he collapsed because he had no energy. You know who I'm talking about? Buddha. Yeah, I'm talking about Buddha. The Buddha, they call him. The Buddha, get it right. Right? And so he collapsed and almost drowned, except there was a young girl who saved him, pulled him out, and gave him food. And so he said, well, and his ideology was everything is temporary in life. So if you put your happiness into temporary things, a car is temporary, a house is temporary, a wife is temporary, right? Children is temporary. And he says, if you put your happiness on that, you will suffer pain. So what he said was, you need to reject all those things so you can be happy. But one thing he didn't reject that was happiness itself. He said, if you have no desire for these things, then you'll be happy. But his ultimate desire was happiness. And so he said, if you don't desire anything, you'll be happy. And the truth is, it didn't bring him ultimate happiness. Jesus said the same thing, kind of. He said, deny yourself, pick up the cross, your cross, and follow me. Jesus said, deny those things. But then he said this, seek him first, and everything that you will be added unto you. Make the purpose, the pursuit of your life, the seeking of your life, God himself, and God will give you whatever you need. Buddha said, don't want anything and you'll be happy. And he was not happy ultimately. And that's why Buddhism is kind of a philosophy, but really it doesn't satisfy. You can't live like that. You can't be a monk, you know. Jesus said, seek him first. Deny everything and seek him first. And then he'll add everything unto you. Make sense? Amen. So the secret to happiness is seeking the right thing. You're going to seek something. You're going to seek something. Why not? Seek something that will bring you ultimate happiness. Some of you are kind of deflated right now. Pastor, you know, I thought you were going to give me a magic pill. But you're telling me all I need to do to be happy is seek God, pursue God? Not just that. Pursue him with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. Pursue him. Now, some of you are like, okay, so I pursue him and he'll give me something, right? Here we go again, focusing on what? Some of us serve God for what can he give me? Can he give me a car? Well, if he does, which he will, but if he does the car make you happy? We already established that what does not make you happy? A boyfriend, girlfriend, we already established even he or she won't make you ultimately happy. Some people get married and then later they hate one another for the rest of their life. So we're already established. So the truth is, Jesus knew something. And this is where I believe Jesus was totally on a higher level than all of us. See, right now it's hard for you to even comprehend how can seeking Jesus, seeking God and his righteousness will make you happy. Because we're so earthly minded. We're so little. And a lot of us, God bless me, bless me, bless me. But we already established that what will not make you happy. So why are you even praying, God, give me, give me, give me? When you need to pray, when I need to pray, God, I want more of you. I want to know you more. I want to talk to you. I want to have a relationship with you. Because when I have you, everything else will be added plus to you. Do you see how we just so small-minded? Got a car, a car, a car, a car. And God says, no, no, seek me and the car will come. Seek me and a house will come and marriage will come and all these things will be added because God wants you to ultimately be happy, not temporary be happy. And so many people walk away from God because they're like, God, why didn't you give me what I asked? And God said, because I wanted to give you something greater that can satisfy, that can last your life and eternity. Paul writes from a prison. Guys, Paul writes from a prison. He knows God. He's seeking God. He writes from a prison and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How can you say that, Paul? They're about to cut your head off. You're chained to a soldier, Roman soldier. How can you say be happy always? He knew something. He discovered a secret, guys. And unless you know, because next week I'm going to give you practical things, but unless you know this first, because next week it's going to be down the hill. Right now we're kind of climbing up the hill, right? I want you to know something. The true happiness is found in seeking. And why is it seeking? Because you can never know God completely. So every day He'll reveal to you a new face of Him, a new way of Him, a new thought, a new revelation of Him. Am I talking to somebody? Come on. Angels who are in the presence of God at this moment, you know what John said? When they see God, every time they see God, their faces are closed, but then they peek and see God. And when they see God, they cry, holy, holy, holy. You know why they say that? Because seeing God overwhelms you so much. If you never experienced this, see God. If you never experienced this, He can fill you so much that you have nothing to say. You start speaking in tongues because you're just like, holy, holy, holy. You know, why do people say, oh, holy God, holy? Sometimes it's a religious lingo, but it comes from angels seeing the face of God, and every second they see something new because God is so source of happiness. The truth is, guys, the truth is that God is the happiest person in the universe. Why see God? Because He's the happiest person in the universe. Remember we said happiness is in who? Have you ever been around a happy person? What does that make you? Happy. Did you know that God is the most happiest person in the universe? The reason you have capacity to be happy, because God gave it to you. And if there was no sin in the world, God would not ever get angry, ever. But His slow to anger. What does that mean? God is a happy God. Amen. Psalm 16:11. Let's read these scriptures quickly. Psalm 16:11. You shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. I don't want to go to heaven that's depressed, that's angry, that's negative. Heaven is not that. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You seek pleasure in things, but God says, seek pleasure in me. Hold on. Nehemiah 8:10 says this, do not sorrow, for the joy of the happiness of the Lord is your strength. So when you get to know God, when you get into His presence, you get happy. You become strengthened. Why do many of you come to church? Because you get strengthened without even knowing it, right? You leave here and I get emails, Pastor, that was good. Oh, I feel so much better. Why? Why did you get strengthened? Because of me? No, you experienced something. You touched the invisible. Amen. 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 God is a happy God. God loves His job to be creator of the universe. God takes pleasure in all He does. Amen. John 15:11 says this, these things I have spoken to you that my joy, my happiness may remain in you. So what did Jesus say? I am happy. Guys, think about Jesus. I know this is the end of a sermon and we should kind of be going down, but we're going up. Think about Jesus. When He was starting His ministry, He was going to do the first miracle. And He comes and you think He would heal the blind or crippled. No, He doesn't do that. He comes to a wedding and He says, you know what I'm going to do, guys, to His disciples? I'm going to turn water into wine. And they're like, are you sure you want to do that as your first miracle? That's going to set a precedent, you know? Jesus, you guys are too boring for me. Let's get you some wine here so you can be happier. Hold on. Did you know that Jesus hated hanging out with religious people? Why? Because they were dull and boring, just like they are today. And many of you think God is boring because you think, you look at Christians sometimes and you think they're boring. But Jesus was the life of a party. Did you know that he was often invited to the sinners and tax collectors' parties? Why would they invite him? Do you invite boring people to your party? They're gonna steal all the energy. No, you invite. And he irritated the Pharisees because he was so happy. Oh, you didn't know that. John, he says, so my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Your happiness may be full. God is full of happiness. There's a scripture, and I'm going to finish here, that interpreters of the Bible did not interpret correctly. Why? Because their religious minds would not allow them. But today, I'm going to reveal you a secret about God. 1 Timothy 1:11. Some of this verse will not make sense, but I want you to show you something. According to the glorious gospel, Paul writes, of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul says a certain gospel. What is gospel? It's good news. Okay, so God is a God of good news. Can't be, you know, angry and have good news, right? So God is a God of good news. But the word blessed there, in Hebrew, it's makarios. And you know what makarios means? Happy. Okay, let's read it again. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, of the happy God, which was committed to my trust. How do you see God? Is he a happy God? Or is he dull, depressing, judgmental, ready to punish, angry? How do you see God? Sometimes as parents, we get angry at our kids, but we're not angry. Usually we're happy to our kids, right? We rejoice with our kids. God sometimes gets angry. But you know what? Since Jesus Christ came and died, and that's why there's a difference between Old Testament God and a New Testament God. In Old Testament, he's kind of more angry because of the sin destroying his children. That's why he's angry. Separating his children from him, that's why he's angry. If somebody separated your baby from you, what would you do? You know why God was so angry in Old Testament? He said, kill them all. Because they were separating his children, you, your grandparents from, come on. Amen. God is a happy God. He loves to save. Oh, I wish you knew that kind of God. And today you can. You don't have to wait for a house to be happy. Today you can choose to be happy in God. Today you can choose to be happy that he loves you, that he saves you, that he forgives all your sin, that he washes all your guilt away. You can be happy that he blesses you, he removes all your fear. You can be happy that your name is written in a book of life. You can be happy today because God is happy. And when you look at God with your imagination today, see him smiling, happy God. Why? Because Jesus Christ has brought peace between humanity and God. Amen. Amen. We got a second service on the way, so I gotta quit. I would love to go a little longer. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head. And I want to ask you, do you know God? Today, I want to give you an opportunity to know him and give your life to him. He loves you so much. He was willing to die for you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for our sins. And today, you don't have to live seeking happiness through any other mean. You can find it in Jesus Christ. On a count of three, I want to give you an opportunity to respond by raising your hand if you want to receive God as your God and as your Lord and your Savior and the source of your happiness. On a count of three, please raise your hand and raise it high. And God will come in, change your heart, and give you himself. Idolatry is seeking something other than God for your happiness. That's what idolatry is. God says, no, no, I want to be the source of your happiness. So on a count of three, please raise your hand and raise it high. One, two, three, if you want to give your life to Jesus. One person, two persons. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for these two people and for everyone who's sitting here that you come in. Give them revelation. Give them the revelation of a happy God that Paul held so dear. Give them the revelation of a happy God so when they look at God, they can also be happy. And not tomorrow, right now. Right now. Because God is pleased with us because of Jesus Christ who paid for our sins. God loves us. And we thank you, Father, for the service, for the souls saved, for lives changed today, that we will not pursue temporary things, but we will pursue the eternal God and get everything else added to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, guys, clap your hands and bless God.